Now, what's impossible to us as children of God? That's right, nothing. If we believe God, right, young lady? If we believe and if we can develop faith, we can get enough of the Word in us. But let me tell you how you're going to do this. You're going to turn off your television. You're going to turn off your radio. You're going to turn off your newspapers. You're going to turn off your magazines. And you're going to meditate day and night on the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, day and night, did He say you would be prosperous and successful? It will bring forth a long, healthy life. Now, how many wants a long, healthy life? But we want to live in the world to get it. And you can't live in the world and get it. The world will bring sickness and disease to your flesh. You have to be so careful. That's just like out at the ministry center. We don't have a television in the place. Little John, he don't know what it's like. One day his daddy pulled up a little video on a computer screen. And he's looking at that. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. He loves to sit there and watch those little videos about airplanes. I mean, he's just spellbound watching that. You know? But see, if he was watching that junk as a little child on television, he would be absorbing that too. And it would be having a tremendous impact on his little life. So you got to keep your kids from that junk of the world if you want them to walk in obedience to God's Word. It's something. These promises that God gave us in here is absolutely astounding. And then when you go to Deuteronomy 28, I want you to see in 28. Verse 17. Well, how many of you have unbelief or doubt? Nearly all of you do. Might as well be truthful. We all have a little. But don't feel bad. Here's the apostles that walked with Him, ate with Him, lived with Him, slept with Him, everything else. And now they just saw Him raised from the dead. And He's standing in front of them in verse 17. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Oh, I mean Matthew 28. I'm sorry. I never did finish that. Yeah, but all the blessings of God, those are awesome blessings. But in Matthew 28, since we were in Matthew, I thought I said Matthew 28. I said Deuteronomy. Wow. Okay. That just goes to show, see, sometimes my mind runs in a different direction, and even my mind and mouth's not tied together all the time. It's real easy to get it confused. But Matthew 28:17, and when they, the disciples, saw Him, Jesus, they worshipped Him, but some of them doubted. That'd be hard to believe that you could doubt after you'd seen what they'd seen, right? Somebody said, if I could just see Jesus, I'd never doubt again. That's not true. They saw Him, they lived with Him, they did everything, and they doubted. Then Jesus said and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto Me. How much? All power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. So who's in total control of the cosmos? The King. Jesus. I mean, He is watching over everything. He knows what you and me are doing today. He knows what we're saying. He knows what we're thinking. He knows everything. He says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 20, teaching them, the new converts, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What did He taught them? What did He tell them to do about healing a while ago in verse 10? Did He tell them to go cast out demons? Did He tell them to heal the sick? How do you heal the sick? You lay hands on them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. The Word. And if people have their sins repented of, the Word heals you. Jesus said, I sent forth My Word and healed him. Psalm 107, verse 20. I sent forth My Word and healed you. So when you repent of every sin, known and unknown, and ask God to forgive you, when you believe, He will heal you every time. Now, when I say heal you every time, I just told you a story a while ago about a man didn't get healed, but that man had committed the sin unto death. Now, see, don't go there. See, he had already gone there. He had committed the sin unto death. God had already served a death warrant for Him. And so when God serves a death warrant over you, the Scripture tells us in 1 John that when God serves a death warrant over you and you have committed to sin unto death, He says, you're not even about to pray about that. Don't even touch it, because I ain't going to heal you. Now, how do we know what the sin unto death is? We really don't know. I can tell you several things in this book that has brought death to people, but let me tell you this. He says, all sin is unrighteousness. So now then, if somebody has committed a sin unto death, this is the way a sin unto death is. You take a revolver and take 6 bullets out of it, put one back in it and spin it and pull it back and say, I'm going to see if this is the one. And it wasn't the one. If you keep doing that, sooner or later, you're going to hit the live one. Is that right?
Yes.
So why take the chance? Don't put the gun up there and spin it to see if you can get the wrong one or the right one. You know, in other words, don't sin. If you don't sin, it's like taking that gun, throw it out the window. Now, if you don't sin, if you walk holy before God, not only do you not have to be sick anymore, the devil can't touch you, but then you can come and ask the Lord for anything, and He'll do it for you. Now, that's where I want to walk, don't you? I want to be able to ask the King for anything, and He do it for me. And He promises us that. But most of us don't believe Him. Most of us don't believe. But the Word, it is written. It is written. Now then, when you think about what He commanded them to do, turn just a few pages over to Mark 11. I want you to see these great and awesome promises in Mark 11. They're so powerful. If you didn't get a copy of the tongue back there in some form of media, you need to get a copy of the tongue. Because the tongue is either your best friend or your worst enemy. Your tongue will make you sick or it will make you well. That's how you get it done. I mean, I think of the people that I prayed for with this tongue and seen God instantly heal them. I think of the things I have spoken in the name of Jesus and see the King 1,000 miles away do an instant miracle on another person. You know, I've seen these kind of things over and over and over and over. You know, and I do it all with Mark 11, 23 and 24. Now look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. Jesus said here in verse 22, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So do we need to have faith in God? If you don't have faith in God and His Word, forget it. None of this stuff will work for you. You got to have faith in the King. And how's you going to make your faith work? You got to be walking in love for your faith to work. If you don't walk in love, it will not work. You go out there and start talking evil about somebody. Oh, that old preacher down there, I mean, that guy, you know, I don't like him. I don't like what he preached on today. You just got all kinds of stuff. Forget, ain't no use in you coming asking God for nothing. He ain't going to do nothing for you. You got to be walking in love. You may not agree with what I teach, but you can't talk about me. Oh, you can, but you ain't going to ever get a prayer answered while you're doing it. You know. So that's the whole thing. You got to walk in love if you want your prayers answered. Then he says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, are you a whosoever? Okay. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Pretty awesome promise, isn't it, brother? I mean, absolutely. God said this too, didn't he? I ain't saying this. I'm just repeating what the King said. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. And then look at the next one. That's two of the most awesome promises in God's Word. And when you stand praying, forgive. But Lord, you don't know what she did to me. He said, oh yeah, I know what she did to you. I know what they did to me. And I forgave you. Now, if you're not willing to forgive them, I ain't going to forgive you. And so one day when you stand in my presence and you had an unforgiveness towards somebody on earth because of their little nickel sins and you wouldn't forgive them, I ain't going to forgive you either. So since I'm not going to forgive you, you ain't coming into my heaven. You're going into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. How would you like to have that declaration spoken over you, Todd? Ain't going there, are you? Ain't nobody going to do nothing to me. I mean, I'm going to forgive them all, right? I'm going to walk holy in the presence of the King. I ain't going to hold no grudges. I don't care what you say to me or do to me. I ain't going to hold no grudge against you. I ain't about to hold a grudge against you. It says, and when you sin, pray and forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions. But if, isn't that amazing? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. How many Christians you know that had a grudge against somebody? You know? How many Christians, when I think about these promises, how many people in my life that would have a child sick and I wouldn't understand why the child was sick? I mean, I prayed over them, nothing happened, and the child died. I think, God, there's got to be something wrong here. That little 5-year-old child, they couldn't have done anything worthy of death. What is this? And then when I learned about this unforgiveness stuff, when I learned that unforgiveness, either from the mother or the father, will open the door to the whole family. And to all of your resources, your bank account, everything. You can need a financial miracle. And somebody said, Thurman, we've got to have a financial miracle. What are you tithing? Oh, yeah. We tithe all the time. We go to church every time the door's open. We got a problem here. If you need a financial miracle, you got a sin in your life. Well, we're tithing. How about that guy that lives across the street that has that cat that you didn't like? Oh, that old fool, I don't like him at all. There's your problem. We hit the right button. What do you mean? Because of your unforgiveness toward them, you've opened the door to the devil, and the devil's been able to torment your finances. And until you get into a right relationship with your neighbor and start walking in love with your neighbor, you ain't going to never get your financial problems taken care of.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.